Amen. Well, as I said, we've changed our order a little bit. I'm going to teach you for a few minutes, and then we're going to come back to worship. Now, you know what a few minutes is, right? We're not going to have instant anything here, but let's look at things. We live in some very troubled times. I mean, there are lots of things. Our Christian nation has been threatened with secularism, socialism, communism, humanism, atheism, all these isms are out there. And it seems that more and more, the very reason our forefathers separated from England, those very same things seem to be coming back upon us right now. I mean, we've seen that they left Britain because of excessive taxation. And I think we would say, probably all agree, that the taxes are rather excessive. And the things I'm not advocating any anarchy right now, but that's why they left. They left Britain because they wanted religious freedom. They wanted the ability to worship God as they pleased, and they wanted a government that was bound to the moral directives of Scripture. And that's why they came, and that's what they were here to do. And we can see those things have been being eroded over the decades and the centuries. And so we can tell that we're in trouble. I mean, we are in trouble. I mean, the very fiber of our nation is being overturned by radical, ungodly minorities whose agenda is being furthered because of the silence of the people of God. Because Christians say nothing and do nothing, and we just go with it. They're just emboldened to do it. I was encouraged this week when a huge number of people spoke up and was heard over the outcry of minority groups. I'm not talking about race here. I'm talking about people who don't believe the Word of God is what I'm talking about. But they spoke up, and they were heard over the voices of this few people. And a whole network changed their plan because a group of people spoke up. Now, that encouraged me, not because of a 67-year-old bearded guy, but it encouraged me because a group of people spoke up. What it said to me was, and this is going to be my prayer, I'm going to pray that the devil and his crowd will just overplay their hand so that this sleeping giant of the body of Christ will stand up. You see, most of our country is either asleep or dead. They're either dead because they're not born again, or they're asleep. They're born again, but they're just asleep. Either case is dark. It's darkness. It's time for this sleeping giant to awaken. And that's what we're praying for, right? We're praying for an awakening that will come in our land. I mean, we want that to happen. We want an awakening to come our way. You see, we desire that awakening. Jesus told us in the Word of God that there will be trouble, but not to let it get in our hearts. By that, I'm talking about fear and worry. We've got to know there are troubled times. And even though the times, if we let it get in our heart, here's what we'll do. We'll talk the trouble. We'll report the trouble. We will just be conduits of the trouble rather than being conduits of the awakening. There are some times that are coming. We know this. The Scripture tells us in John chapter 16:33. This is from the Amplified Bible. Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation and trials, and distresses, and frustration. I mean, just get on the loop and you have frustrations, right? But be of good cheer. I mean, yesterday, we were driving somewhere, I can't remember where we were going, and I mean, this guy pulls out in front, not of me, he pulled out in front of me, pulls out in front of me like he was late to heaven, and he pulls out in front of me and then was going 10 miles an hour in a 40. That's frustrating to me. Tammy says, I'm holding my words. Because we're learning how to not report the problem. We want to report the answer. And so, it's frustrating. But Jesus said, you're going to find it. He said, but be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident, certain, undaunted, for I have overcome the world. Praise God. He said, I've deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. He said, man, he said, get happy. Don't be discouraged. I mean, do we believe that or not? See, I believe that Jesus told us the truth. He conquered it. That's how we respond to trouble. We respond to trouble by having cheer. Oh, this country's going to hell in a handbasket. Really? I believe Jesus is our answer. And I believe there is a sleeping giant that is being awakened even as we speak. I believe he's doing what he said. We can be happy. We can be confident because we know what he has promised us. John 14, 27, Jesus said this. He said, peace I leave with you. Now, Jesus, this is written in the Greek, but Jesus was not Greek, right? Jesus was Jewish. And so even though this Greek word is Irene, Jesus was using, in his vernacular, he was speaking a language similar to Yiddish or similar to Hebrew. It was Aramaic, but it was very, very Hebrew in its origin. Jesus said, shalom. Shalom, which we know means completeness, nothing missing, nothing broken. He said, shalom, I leave with you. He said, my shalom, not just any shalom, my shalom I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In tough times, he said, I'm giving you my peace. I'm giving you my answer. He said, now, I'm doing my part. I'm giving the peace. Here's your part. Let not your heart be troubled. It's my job to not let my heart be troubled. He said in Matthew 24, verse 6, and I've read this to you, of course, many times, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. That's a tough one, isn't it? He said, man, there's going to be wars. There's going to be rumors of wars. See it. He said, you see to it that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. He said, man, don't let your heart be troubled. The only way to not let your heart be troubled is to fill your mind with the Word of God. If you watch the news, talk to it. I mean, they've been trying to convince us that we're going to die of the bird flu this year. We talk back to it. We say, we're not having it here. We refuse to have it here in Jesus' name. We're living out the length of our days. We're living them out until it's time for us to go, and bird flu is not going to kill us. You see, we need to understand, we've got to replace the fear with the Word of God in our hearts, in our minds. In a time of trouble, let me just point this out to you. Abby did it during Truth Nuggets. In darkness, that's when the light shines the brightest. We need to understand that troubled times are the times to shine. Here's what the Bible says in Psalm 138, verse 7. I really like this psalm. I meditated in it quite a bit. But look what it says. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Isn't that good? When's revival going to come? In the midst of trouble. You know what? We are primed for revival. There's a lot of trouble. He said, in the midst of trouble, you'll remind, thou wilt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies. Thy right hand shall save me. The next verse goes on to say, it says, you will, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. He's going to finish the job. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. I'm the work of his hand. He said, in trouble, revival will come. If I'm looking at the right place, revival comes in the middle of trouble. We need to be people who understand the answer is with God and not with man. The answer is with him. You see, he is our source, And we must understand He's God, we're not. We make any changes that He tells us to make. We see Him in the Word, we make the change. We hear it in the Spirit, we make the change. Our trouble will become revival if we understand that we're following Him and letting Him finish what He wants. The time is to rise up and follow Him. Allow His power to surge in us again. People are, we're just, we've become dependent. The church, not only the church, but society has become dependent on something other than God. And we don't want to change. We want to continue with our dependencies. You know, heard about three guys that were fishing, and as they're fishing on the lake, all of a sudden an angel appears. And as they're staring at the angel, one guy finally said, "Oh, I'm so glad you've come." And the angel said, "I've come to do good to you." And he said, "Listen," he said, "my back has been sore for years. Could you just help me with my back?" And the angel came and touched him, and his back was totally well. Ooh, man, he felt so good about it. The next guy sat next to him, he said, "Wait," he said, "Wait, me. He said, look. See these glasses? They're thick as Coke bottle bottoms. He said, "I just want you to heal my eyesight." And the angel took his glasses off and threw them, and as soon as his glasses hit the water, poof, his eyes were healed. And the angel took a step toward the third guy and said, whoa, don't touch me. I'm on disability, and I want to keep it. Well, see, we need to understand, sometimes change will come. What would happen if God healed you right now? What would happen if the refreshing manifests itself before we walk out the door? Some things are going to have to change, aren't they? And we've got to be willing to change with what He's doing. See, I found out about people. Most people don't want to change. Well, they want change to come, but they don't want to change. I want change to come, but I want you to change. I don't want to have to do anything. That's what people think. They want, everybody wants something to change. I want this to change. Well, what are you doing to get it to change? Well, nothing. I want it just to change. You see, we need to understand that when God moves, He's going to require change. The answer to this nation is with God. It's with His power. He's the one who's going to do it. And it's not going to be about us. Now, let's look at this passage of Scripture here in Acts chapter 3, verse 18. This is kind of what I'm going to jump from today. The Apostle Peter's preaching. He says, "But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all of His prophets that Christ should suffer, He hath so fulfilled." Now He's telling us Jesus died for us. He said God prophesied. Now look what He says in verse 19. He says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." That should say, so that times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord. "And He shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you." Now, we've been studying on Wednesday nights, we were studying American revivals. Abby did a fantastic job of just teaching us about revivals that have occurred in our nation since its beginning. I don't know about the rest of you, but in me it created a hunger for Jesus, a hunger for the outpouring of His presence. That's what I want. I want to see Him in my life, in our lives. Among the things she mentioned was that William Seymour, who was the leader of the revival on Azusa Street, and she did a great job talking about this man who could only see out of one eye, who was educated in the hallway because of the color of his skin. God used him. He prophesied about 100 years ago that in 100 years, revival was coming to this land that would be superior to the revival that took place on Azusa Street. That lasted from about 1907 to about 1915. He prophesied. He said in 100 years, revival is going to come. He saw it. He prophesied it. Now here's the deal. God already decided the what. He said it's coming. Here's the question we have to answer this morning. Who will be involved? God's decision is revival. Our choice is whether or not we're going to be involved in the revival. Our choice is whether we're going to be a part of the refreshing. The church, by and large, missed the Jesus movement of the 1960s. The church, established church, missed it. And they spent years trying to catch up to it, but they pretty much missed it. They didn't know, they didn't fit their definition of revival. There will be a revival in this nation. The question is whether or not we're going to be included in that. I vote yes. But we've got to make sure that we're willing to make whatever changes are necessary. We've seen over the past few weeks that repentance is necessary. We saw it in this passage there, but we looked throughout the New Testament. We've seen that Jesus will manifest His presence where repentance has taken place. We know that that's what He will do. I mean, we know that. People are saying today that Christians don't need to repent because we're already the righteousness of God in Christ. But the truth is, in the New Testament, all through the epistles, the Bible talks about the need for believers to repent, to live holy. When they don't, repent. We found out repentance is the way out, so we don't have to give in to temptation. No. God provides a way out, so we don't have to give in to temptation, but He provides a way back through repentance when we do mess up. And God will make sure that we get where we're supposed to be. The Bible teaches that we need to repent so we can confidently live by faith. But in our passage, we can see that the apostle was talking first about that since the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, it is the plan of God for there to be times of refreshing and the manifest presence of Jesus in the earth. That is what God wants. Y'all with me here? He wants a time, and the word is times, plural. There are to be times of refreshing. Times of refreshing to come. The word times literally means seasons. There are to be seasons. It's time for a season of revival. That's good news to me. It's time for it. It's time for a season. We saw as we studied revivals that revivals last for years. Revival's not a 3-day event or a 2-week event. Revivals last for years and years and years. We found that revivals change things all around. The word refreshing here literally means relief, recovery of breath. It means revival. It has to do with a cool breeze on a hot day. A revival. Refreshing. God wants to bring us a season of refreshing. He says, repent and be converted so that you will be delivered of your sin. That does not mean be born again. Repent here, this particular word for repent, means to change the mind so that you can change your action. The word converted is an interesting word. It doesn't mean to repent and get saved. The word converted here literally means to, it's from two Greek words that are compound, and it literally means repent and be in reverse. It's talking about turning around. It's talking about going in reverse and returning to God. Once the mind is changed, its opinion of sin and the cause of sin, now there needs to be a reversal of action so we can get where we're supposed to be. The Amplified says to turn around and return to God. There must be a returning. If we're going to see a refreshing come, there's got to be in the church a returning to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. There's got to be a return to the place that Jesus is Lord. The charismatic renewal has turned into a gospel that is all about me and me getting my thing, and I get to do what I want to do, and we've somehow rationalized my this and my that. I can do this if I want to. I can do that if I want to. I can do that if I want to, rather than it being about the Lordship of Jesus. The Bible says that we're not to use our liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Yes, maybe I can do something. But the Apostle Paul clearly said, all things are lawful unto me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful unto me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. I may can do this, but if this takes power over me and I want this more than I want him, that's not right for me. Revival will come when Jesus is absolute Lord. When I turn and return to that place. That if Jesus says jump, I say how high? Yeah, but the Bible says I don't have to jump. It doesn't matter. If Jesus says jump, I'm jumping. This is good stuff right now. Well, I can do what I want to. No, I'm not talking about law. I'm talking about coming to the place of Jesus being my Lord. See, grace does not... Do I need to go here? Well, I'm under grace and under the law. Can I just tell you something? The Bible teaches this. If you are not walking in the Spirit, you are under the law. You have two choices. Walk in the Spirit. If you walk in the Spirit, there's fruit of the Spirit in your life. If you have the fruit of the flesh listed in Galatians, you are under the law, and the curse connected to it will come to you. You mean I won't go to heaven? I'm not talking about heaven here. I'm talking about the curse of the law and walking in the Spirit. How did I get off on that? Oh, yeah. Jesus is my Lord, and I walk in the Spirit because I love him. Revival is going to come, folks. And I know we don't like this word very much, but holiness comes with it. There's a difference between being the righteousness of God and walking in holiness. Righteousness is not holiness. Ooh, man. It's sure quiet here. Lord Jesus, are you my Lord? I'm going to get some fun stuff here. I don't know why I even have to throw that, but I want to look this morning. I'm going to begin to look at this refreshing today. I want to know, what will it take for refreshing to come to Lubbock, Texas? What is it going to take for revival to come here? We're going to have an encounter with God. We cannot put the new wine in old wineskins. And we've said this many times. The charismatic renewal of the 60s, that wineskin isn't going to hold the new wine. Churches since that time that rejected it initially have now been trying to replicate it so they can try to get those results. But the truth is, the new wine won't be contained there. We must be open to what God is about to do. So, what are we going to do? How are we going to get this? What will revival look like? Do you know what it will look like? See, it's important we get the image of God in our minds, not what we think or what we've seen. Revival may be different than anything we've ever seen. It's possible to miss the new thing God wants to do because we're looking in the wrong direction. Do you remember when Jesus was raised from the dead? People saw him and didn't recognize him. Why? Because they were looking for the wrong thing. They thought he was dead, but he was alive. And when they saw him, because he didn't look like they expected him to look, they missed him. It's possible today for the church, the charismatic, spirit-filled, tongue-talking church, to miss revival because we're thinking it's got to look like this. Revival in this year will not, I'm going to promise you, it will not look like the revival of 1968. Or 1976, or whenever it is that you got involved in some kind of revival. It's going to be different. It's different, I'm going to tell you, because it's not going to look the same. The Bible says this in Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. You know these verses. The Bible says, remember not the former things. I love this. Don't even consider the things of old. He said, get out of your mind the way it happened before. He goes on to say, in verse 19, behold, I'm going to do a new thing. Now it will spring forth. Shall you not know it? He's saying it's possible. He said, if you're expecting it to be the way it was in the past, it's going to happen and you will miss it. He says, you better be ready because it's going to be different. He said, I'll make a way in the wilderness. I'll make rivers in the desert. Whatever it's going to be, it's going to be supernaturally done. See, the denominational churches of the 60s and 70s missed the charismatic renewal because they expected the revival to come dressed as a businessman or a housewife who came to a three-day meeting and got born again. But it didn't come looking like that. It came looking like hippies talking in tongues. And they didn't like that look, and so they missed it altogether. As Baptists, it was like, well, it's nuns talking in tongues, so that can't be from God. Nuns nor tongues. We wanted it to look like our definition of revival. We wanted God's wine to fit our wineskin because we were used to them. Revival's not going to fit my wineskin. I better be ready right now. It's going to be different than anything I've ever seen before. We mustn't expect the new thing to be what we've seen before, or it'll come and we won't know it. Well, what's it going to look like? Are we all going to get gold teeth? That'd be sweet. Maybe gold dust. Maybe everybody will fall under the power or will shake. I don't know. Maybe it'll be all that at one time plus a bunch of other stuff. What's it? I don't know. We need to find out. What does the Bible say? What's it going to look like? Let's look at a passage. I'll show you what it's going to look like. Look at Isaiah chapter 60, beginning in verse 1. Arise, shine. For thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. There's revival. Let's read the next verse. We'll come back to this. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth. Now that part's already taken place, isn't it? Gross darkness the people. But, this is one of those blessed buts in the Bible. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and His glory shall be seen upon thee. Verse number 3, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. That is a description of the refreshing. That's what it's going to look like. This, what should we expect in the darkness of our day? That right there. Light shining. We are to arise and be shining in the midst of gross darkness that covers our society. There ought to be a light shining. Jesus said, we're the light of the world. People are going to come. This is what the refreshing is going to bring. People are going to come. Governmental officials, it said kings, are going to come and ask us how to do it. Because the light is risen. The light has come. The refreshing is the glorious light of the glory of God upon His people to the degree that the world can see. Remember Azusa Street we talked about on Wednesday nights? That people came because they saw light. The world came. Light. Wow, that's it. That's what we're supposed to do. Young's literal translation. I'm just going to read the first part of the first verse. He says, arise, be bright. All right, be bright. For come hath thy light. Be bright. I'm going to tell you something. When the glory of God, the refreshing of God comes, you will be so lit up that others cannot put out your light. You'll be bright. You'll shine. How are we going to know if there's a refreshing going on? You're going to shine. We're going to be brilliant. Not necessarily mentally, but brilliant because of the light of God, which will make us brilliant in the eyes of the world. The light's going to shine through us. And we're going to all of a sudden, we're going to get it. oh, the light bulb will come on because of the glory of God, the shining of what God is wanting to do. That is the refreshing, Jehovah rising upon us. You see, His part is to send the light. Our part is to rise and shine. We'll talk more about that as we go here. This is fun now. The revival is Jehovah's honor being seen on His church. It's Him being made manifest. The Amplified reads it this way: arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Arise to new life. Shine. Be radiant with the glory of the Lord. For your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. That's revival. That is revival. Whew. Refreshing is the glory of the Lord. What is that? Well, the Hebrew word for glory means weight. W-E-I-G-H-T. It means splendor, copiousness. The root word for glory in the Hebrew is to be heavy. Have you been in a meeting where the glory was so present, it was heavy? I've been in the room with Him before, and it felt like my face was melting off because He was so heavy. Anybody want that? That's revival. That's not the whole revival. That's not what the revival is. But that's certainly a part of it. The glory of God, His weighted presence, enters a place. And I mean, it is heavy. It's heavy glory. Heavy. Now, that heaviness doesn't keep us down. But that heaviness comes upon us. We sense it, and now we're empowered to rise and shine. We come together where it's weighted. We walk out that door, and we shine. We may not even know how much we shine, but because that's what the glory of God will do, it will cause us to shine. Man, the refreshing is when the glory comes upon us to the degree that not only does it affect us, but others can see the light. If I can come and leave here and nobody know the difference, there's no revival going on. See, when I think that the glory is just for me so I can feel good, I'm wrong. The glory is for me to take wherever I go. He says, arise and shine. That means rise and be luminous or be light emitting. You are to be a light emitter wherever you go. I found out. It's tough to be a light emitter sitting in my living room watching TV. It's hard to emit light to the character that I'm watching on television. He wants us to be light emitters into the world. He wants us to affect the world that we live in. He said we're to be emitters of God's glory wherever we go as we go. Talking about a 24/7 thing. Our lives are this way all the time. Our light has come. Our illumination has come. We're not the source of the light. We are simply the reflectors of the light. The light comes. It hits me. When light comes on me, what does it do? Two things. I absorb it and I reflect it. Some of us who have less hair than others, we reflect it even more. The light comes, we absorb it. Go in the sunshine, what happens? You absorb vitamin D out of the air because it's in the light. And we reflect it. That's what the glory does. That's what revival is. It is this refreshing, is this light coming on us and being emitted from us. Now, I want you to think about this. Where does the light come from, and how do we get it? Arise, shine, for thy light has come. Well, where does it come? It comes from the Lord. Yes, you're right. But how can we connect with that light? Why is it sometimes the light is there and sometimes it's not? We want revival, but what do we do now? We've repented. We've cleaned the house. Is revival something? Can we do something? Or is revival a refreshing? Is it just the random act of God's sovereignty and you just have to have been lucky enough to have been born at a certain time to get it? Or can we connect to it? Is there something we can do? Well, I believe there's something we can do. Not only is it prophesied, so we are the group of people who've been born at the right time in the right place, but also I believe there's something we do to connect with it. We are the ones, I just believe this, we are the ones who are in the right place at the right time for the revival of God. It's not a random act, but we're preparing ourselves for it. Our text in Acts 3 said this. It said that revival, where does it come from? The presence of the Lord. Oh, I'm just wanting to practice the presence. What does that mean? That's a pretty religious-sounding statement. Well, I think that means to just soak in His presence. Show me the chapter and the verse. I don't want to mess you up too bad, but I'm just going to tell you something. There's something more real than just that. The presence, yes, you can. Soak the rays of His light, and they will change you. But what does it mean? What does it mean? Revival, refreshing comes from the presence of the Lord. The word presence in the Greek, it means the front, the countenance, or the face that's looking at you. Whoa. Revival comes when God turns His face and looks at us. Outside of His face, when He turns away, is darkness. But where He looks, there is light, there is revival, there is refreshing. Refreshing comes, and I'm going to show you some more scripture. Refreshing comes as He looks at us. We want God to look at us. This isn't like when you were little and you were doing what you weren't supposed to be doing and you knew your mom was over here and she was looking at you and you were not looking at her because you knew if you looked at her, you had to quit. This is, we want Him to look at us. Now, much of the church is doing everything that they can do to keep Him from looking. They don't want to look at Him because when they look at Him and the light comes, darkness has to go. Conviction will come, not condemnation. Conviction will come. They'll have to give up their little pet sins. So they don't want to look at Him. But folks, revival, refreshing, is Him looking at us and us gazing full-fledged into the face of God so the light of God will come, so the glory of God will flood our place. Ooh, this is fun, huh? Listen to this. Refreshing comes, as we did. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. Look what this verse says. We're going to look at this in verse 12. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. Now, let me just say something to you. If you don't grow up in love, you can't grow up in God. That's what this is telling you right here. It's saying, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Look at this next verse. For now, we see through a glass darkly. But then, face to face. That's the same as the word we just looked up, presence. Same word in the Greek. But then, presence to presence. And now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I am known. Look what it says here. It's saying when you are face to face, there is full revelation. One time I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit, face to face. And I wish I could just suck you into my world there for that few minutes. But I had a question in His presence about a thing that I didn't know the answer to. I was getting ready to ask the question, but all of a sudden I knew the answer. From the Spirit, it came to me. Now, I'm thinking I'm going to have this experience the rest of my life, and so I didn't bother to write down his answer. But I was getting ready to ask it, and then I realized I knew it. Because face-to-face is full revelation. If you can get in the face of God, there's revelation. If you can get to where He is, get Him looking at you, you're going to know some things. Revelation is going to come to you. Revelation will come when we get in His face. So, here's the deal. There is something that we can do. Seek His face. Seeking the face of God is how the refreshing is going to come. Ooh, man. See, when we live our lives in sin, or we're not exactly right, we don't want to look at Him. But as repentance comes, we're boldly looking at Him, saying, whatever you say. And I have full revelation of His will for me as I seek His face. Seek His face. Look at this. Let's look at Numbers chapter 6, verse 22. Y'all get anything out of this so far? Numbers 6, verse 22. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and his sons, saying, on this wise shall you bless. And we know the word bless here is the empowerment through words for people to rise and come to where they're supposed to be. Say, bless the children of Israel, saying unto them. Now look how, now here's how the blessing comes. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. How? The Lord make His face shine upon thee. Wait a minute. Didn't we just read in Isaiah that the Bible says your light has come? It says we're to rise and shine. How can that be? Because the Lord makes His face. The blessing of God is His face shining upon me. What does it bring? Grace. And be gracious unto thee. If I can get in this place where He's looking at me and I'm looking at Him, the grace will flow. The presence of God will flow. Look at the next verse. The Lord lift up His countenance, His face, upon thee and give thee peace. If God's looking at me, the light is on me. Grace and peace are flowing from His presence in His glory, His face. He wants us to be there. Grace will flow. This is the priestly blessing that's the will of God for all of His covenant partners. Jesus is our high priest, and this moment He is blessing us with the very same statement that if God will turn His face toward us, grace will come. Peace will come. We just have to have His face, looking into His face. His blessing comes as His face is turned toward us. Woo, man. The word countenance is His forward-looking face. That's what it means in the Hebrew. This is exciting to me. It says, His light shines upon us as His face shines upon us. That is the refreshing. God looking at us. We are now, our job then is to seek His face. We receive it by faith. Woo. And as we seek His face, the light shines and we can receive it. That is the light the Gentiles will run to. Remember as Abby was telling the story of Azusa Street, how that the fire department came because of the fire. That they saw fire, but there was no fire to put out because it was the glory of God. See, we want the glory of God. I want you to think about some verses. Then we're going to worship just a little bit more as we seek His face. And we're going to finish this message actually next week because there's no way I can get to it. Look at this, Proverbs 16, verse 15. In the light of the king's countenance is life, and his favor is as a cloud of the latter rain. Who's our king? Jesus. In the light of his countenance is life. What is life? Life is the connection to God. life is being connected to Him. When His face is turned toward us, there is life. There is quickening. There is life. Jesus said, I've come that they might have life. His face toward us is life. Do we want life? Yes, we do. We want life. When His face is turned toward us, there is the favor of the latter rain when He turns His face. In His countenance, there is life. In the Young's Bible, his literal translation, the guy who wrote Young's Concordance, he says, in the light of the King's face is life. It's life. His look is life. And streams of grace flow on those beams of light. I want that, do you? Psalm 80, verse 1. Look what this says. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. It could say, shine out, God. Shine on us. Shine from you. Shine to us. How? He turns His face toward us. In that same psalm, verse 3, verse 7, verse 19, they all contain this phrase, cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. His face shines. His face is radiant. We shall be saved. The word saved here means safe or free. The complete Jewish Bible says, make your face shine, and we will be saved. We just need His face. We need to seek His face. The word saved here means to be assisted and supported in times of hardship and distress and trouble. His face saves us. His face brings the refreshing that delivers us in the time of trouble. It's the refreshing we need. Let's see. One more verse here. Psalm 104, verse 15. And wine. So my God doing all these things. And makes and wine that maketh glad the heart of man. Look at this. And oil to make his face shine. And bread which strengtheneth the man's heart. Oil makes the face shine. In connection with what we're talking about today, oil. What is oil? The anointing. It's the anointing. The face of God shines because of the anointing. And it comes upon us and brings this shining anointing to us. Praise God. We want to see His face. We're going to talk some more about this next week. We need His face. We need the Lord's face. We want Him to look our way. We want God to look on Lubbock, Texas. We want God to look at Life Church. We want to be people. The Bible says in Matthew 8, 5, verse 8, it says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. We want our hearts to be pure, so that we can see Him as He looks to us. We want Him to come. We want His presence. We want to seek His face. Seek His face. I think this might be really the last scripture. Let's see. Yeah, Psalm 27, 7 and 8. The Bible says, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy upon me and answer me. Verse 8. When thou saidst, seek my face, my heart said to thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. We want to be people who seek His face. We want to be people who seek His face. Listen, we've been asking for His hand. We need His face. We want Him to stretch forth His hand, but before He's going to do that, we've got to have His face. Listen, any part you get hold of God is good. His big toe is good. But His face is what we want to see. His face, seeking His face. That's where the church has been missing it. We've been seeking our prosperity. We've been seeking our healings. Nothing wrong with those things. But they're not the face of God. We want His face. We want to gaze at the face of the Almighty. If we'll gaze upon Him, we'll no longer be looking at all of our inadequacies. We've got to find Him. Seek His face. Look for His face. as we find him, he'll turn to us. He'll radiate his glory.